This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KD8IDJ, and this is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, September 9th, 2022. The ARRL Board of Directors gathered for its second meeting on July 15th and 16th in Windsor, Connecticut. ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, opened the July meeting with a moment of silence for those radio amateurs who had passed away since the last meeting. Among those remembered was life member Bob Bruniga, WB4APR, of Glen Burnie, Maryland, who died on February 7th. Bruniga created the Automatic Packet Reporting Radio System, known as APRS, of course, and he shared his broad knowledge and experience in amateur radio and electronics throughout his life. The meeting also included a report from ARRL Foundation President David Norris, K5UZ. Norris shared that the foundation awarded $922,250 for scholarships to 139 students this season. Norris made note of the generous funding from the Amateur Radio Digital Communications, ARDC, which substantially increased the scholarship awards, and additional funding from ARDC that granted $500,000 for the newly launched ARRL Foundation Club Grant Program. The foundation also awarded just over $41,000 to six organizations for the betterment and advancement of amateur radio. The board also approved the following actions during the meeting, including permitting the inclusion of military veteran status in ARRL's publication of Silent Key reports. The information will be gathered from Silent Key submissions. Recognition is permitted for all honorably discharged members of the U.S. Armed Forces and all National Guards. Directing the ARRL CEO Secretary to vote in favor of International Amateur Radio Union's Proposal Number 263, which concerns the admission of the Sudan Amateur Radio Union, SARU, as an IARU member society. You can read the complete ARRL board member meeting report on the homepage at ARRL.org. Two rescue stories on the Labor Day weekend involved amateur radio, and they're great examples of why amateur radio is important. The first story occurred in Wisconsin and comes from ARRL member Scott Streckler, K9 or KG9IV. On Friday, September 2nd, he was working at his home office and had his VHF radios on low to monitor them in the background. He recently logged into the All-Star node to monitor the FM38 systems in southern Wisconsin. About 7:45 a.m., he heard the call on the A-Star and All-Star node. An individual was in distress and asking for assistance. It was a ham in Brown Deer, Wisconsin. He had slipped on his bathroom floor and went down so hard he could not get up, but happened to have his handheld radio with him. He did not have access to phone or any other kind of communications, and he lived alone. Strecker called police, and the dispatcher got the fire department rolling and then started asking more details. Strecker put the call on speakerphone so he could hear the ham's response to the questions. The signal was at times noisy, so the injured ham and Strickler used the ITU phonetics to get the exact info out. Strecker said that all of those times of practicing on the Aries nets made the communication a second nature. The dispatcher was also able to understand the info without having any chance to repeat it. Strecker said he felt good. Strecker is a member of the Chippewa Valley Amateur Radio Club. The second rescue story involved newly licensed amateur radio operator Shannon Vore, KK7GVG, and CJ Bruchard, KK7GNG. On Saturday, September 3rd, in the Rocky Mountains in northwest Idaho, they were out for a weekend of four-wheeling in their Jeep. This is an area that's extremely mountainous with no towns, very few people, no facilities, and, of course, no cell phone coverage. About 4:30 p.m., they were taking a break when an approaching truck notified them of an ATV accident involving two teenage girls. The accident scene was just a few miles away, and when they arrived, it was clear the teenagers were critically injured. Bouchard was unable to contact several local repeaters, but was finally able to make contact using a simplex frequency, 146.420 MHz, that's popular with the hams of Coeur d'Alene, 20 miles just from the accident site. While Bouchard and an off-duty EMT were administrating medical aid to the teenagers, Moore took over radio operations. The call for emergency assistance was picked up by local amateur radio operator John Tapero, K7JNT, who immediately called 911 and asked that the 146.420 megahertz channel be used only for emergency traffic. For nearly 2 hours, Vore and Tapero provided relay communications to the 911 dispatcher, advising of the condition of the injured and approaching weather. Life Flight Network was unable to respond because of a severe thunderstorm immediately over the rescue site. Two teams of EMTs were dispatched, but due to the mountains and the storm, they couldn't communicate with their dispatch center. Tapero continued to provide relay information for all parties until 6 p.m. when the EMTs arrived. The teenagers were in stable condition and immediately transported to the nearest hospital. Today, they're in good condition and recovering. It took us about 2 days to wind down from the experience, said Vore. We are both glad we had our amateur radio licenses and were able to help. Bouchard said that they had been using radios on the General Mobile radio system. The area's signals, though, were not good and it was difficult to communicate. So they studied, took their exams, and are now looking forward to much more amateur radio opportunities, joining a local radio club, and becoming involved in ARIES. Here is this week's AMSAT report from Bruce Page, KK5DO. We have learned from the FO99 command team and JAMSAT that the satellite should be operational for the next month as it remains in full sunlight. The Digitalker, though, will be turned off during this time. And time is drawing near for the AMSAT Annual Space Symposium in Bloomington, Minnesota. It will take place October 21st and 22nd at the Crown Plaza at the Minnesota Airport. It's near the Mall of America, Nickelodeon U-verse Amusement Park, and the Minnesota Zoo. All great attractions for you and your family, and please consider joining them for the annual event. More information can be found at AMSAT.org along with a discounted room code. And if you need CN74 on satellite, Frank KJ7DZ will be roving from September 22nd through the 24th. Adrian N8AJM will be working FM satellites with no set schedule in EM85 from September 12th through the 16th. He may also activate a few grids on his trip from EN72 as he travels to EM85. And there is an informative AMSAT story in this week's ARRL letter outlining tracking for the Artemis 1 moon mission using welcome beacons. All of the details on that story at the ARRL.org/letter website. The Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers Standards Association Awards and Recognition Committee has selected ARRL member Richard A. Richtel, K5UJU, as the recipient of the IEEE SA Lifetime Achievement Award. Tell has more than 50 years of outstanding contributions to science and technology of non-ionizing radiation safety and has developed standards for the measurement, methods, safety programs, and exposure limits. He's also a member of the ARRL RF Safety Committee, known as RFSC. Tell received a Foundation's or a Founder's Trophy, rather, in 2022 from the Radio Society of Great Britain, recognizing his outstanding service to that society. RFSC member Greg Lapin, N9GL, praised Tell for his contributions. The entire amateur radio community was fortunate when Rick Tell agreed to join the ARRL RF Safety Committee, said Lapin. Rick's long history with RF safety includes many years with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. During that entire time, Rick donated his time and assumed a leadership role in the development of the IEEE RF safety standards, which make up a large portion of the FCC's regulations related to exposure. Tell received his amateur radio license in 1959 at the age of 15, and he used a homebrew transmitter to work the world. His favorite area of ham radio is analysis and experimentation with antennas. He is also a fellow of the IEEE SA and was the 2019 recipient of the Non-Ionizing Radiation Distinguished Service Award from the Health Physics Society. The IEEE SA Lifetime Achievement Award will be presented on Sunday, December 4th in Somerset, New Jersey. Just ahead in radio sport contesting this week on September 10th, the VHF FOC QSO party, that's CW. September 10th through the 11th, the WAEDX contest, single sideband and phone there. Also September 10th through the 11th, the SKCC weekend sprintathon, that is CW. September 10th, the Ohio State Parks on the Air, that is phone. September 10th through 11th, the Alabama QSO party, CW and phone. September 10th through the 11th, the Russian Cup digital contest, that's all digital. And on September 12th or 10th through the 12th, the ARRL September VHF contest. That's CW phone and digital. September 11th, the North American Sprint CW. And on September 12th, the Four States QRP Group Secondary Sunday Sprint. That is CW and phone. And here are some upcoming section, state, and division conventions to be aware of. On September 9th through the 10th, the Queen Wilhelmina Ham Fest, hosting the ARRL Arkansas State Convention. That's in Mena, Arkansas. September 11th, the ARRL Southern New Jersey Section Convention. That's in Mullica Hill, New Jersey. September 17th through the 18th, the QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. That's an online event, and ARRL is a QSO Today partner. September 23rd through the 24th at the HRO Superfest, hosting the ARRL Central Division Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And thanks and welcome to the Lakes Region Repeater Association, W1BST in Ossipee, New Hampshire, for airing the ARRL audio news on their repeaters. 7-3.
And that concludes ARRL audio news for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL audio news is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.